A very good morning to you. We want to welcome you to Little Swatara. Thank you for coming to services this morning in this house of the Lord, which we come to worship each week. We want to just highlight a few announcements after this service. Does everyone smell it? Can you smell Love Feast? It's such a wonderful smell, and we'll be partaking of communion and serving one another with washing each other's feet and then enjoying the fellowship meal together. You'll be sitting together as family, so we just encourage you to stay after this service and make your way downstairs for our Love Feast gathering. We also want to invite Sarah this morning to make an announcement about Sunday school. So Sarah, if you want to come forward, thank you.
Good morning, church. I wanted to stand up here today and share the most important news that anybody could ever share about their life. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because the Holy Spirit moved through a woman 32 years ago. Her name was Miss Alice, and she was my Sunday school teacher. This morning, I just wanted to take 2 minutes of your time to talk about Sunday school teachers. I'm sure that many of you can think of a special Sunday school teacher that you had growing up and that probably left a footprint on your heart. This summer between my first and second grade years of school, my family moved from the Pittsburgh area to the Pocono Mountains. And one of my parents' first priorities was to find a church for our family to attend. We settled into a little primitive Methodist church and started attending Sunday school and church services. I was an anxious and shy 7-year-old little girl, but my Sunday school teacher, Miss Alice, was good at loving on me, and she gave lots of hugs. Through her, I heard the message of salvation, and she helped me pray Jesus into my heart. And I will never forget Miss Alice. Our church is in need of a few more Miss Alices or Mr. Alices. The Christian education team is praying for more teachers for our kindergarten through fifth grade Sunday school classes. And the Bible tells us that each of us is blessed with a spiritual gift. And some of yours might be the ability to teach or to help behind the scenes with Sunday school. I'm asking that you would prayerfully consider stepping out and taking one of these positions in the children's Sunday school program. A Sunday school teacher doesn't just affect one Sunday or 1 week or 1 month, but they could affect a child's eternity. I just wanted to share a devotion that I recently read. I am the risen one who shines upon you always. You worship a living deity, not some idolatrous man-made image. Your relationship with me is meant to be vibrant and challenging as I invade more and more areas of your life. Do not fear change, for I am making you a new creation, with old things passing away and new things continually on your horizon. When you cling to old ways and sameness, you resist my work within you. I want you to embrace all that I am doing in your life, finding your security in me alone. It's easy to make an idol of routine, finding security within the boundaries you build around your life. Although each day contains 24 hours, every single one presents a unique set of circumstances. Don't try to force fit today into yesterday's mold. Instead, ask me to open your eyes so you can find all I have prepared for you in this precious day of life. So I would just like to encourage you to pray about these positions that we have available and your role in our church family. And if you feel led to be a part of the Sunday school program, feel free to contact any member of the Christian Ed Committee or Sue Hartraft. Thanks for letting me share this morning.
Thank you, Sarah. We pray that you would be in prayer about whether you would accept the call to be a Sunday school teacher and impact lives, because we certainly each remember someone in our life that has had that impact on us, even to this day. Any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? I invite you to please rise and greet one another, and then we'll be listening to One World, One Communion. Any other announcements?
Thank you.
invite you during this time to share any joys or concerns that you may have. Tomorrow, my wife and I will be celebrating 18 years of marriage, and I am so thankful for her and all God has done in our life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord willing, thank you very much. We also just want to add on to our prayer concerns this morning, Annette Keeney, who has fallen, and she's in Good Samaritan, and Joanne Ebling, who's in St. Joe's as well, if you could please remember them in prayer. Any other prayer requests, joys, or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning?
Okay, I have two. I have a neighbor and a friend who has cancer. He was clear for a year, but now they found cancer again. So pray for him. His name's Tom Lewerth. That's all I can tell you. And then we want to pray for the Liske family from Myerstown. Ed Liske, who was a pastor, Spring Creek Church of the Brethren, passed away on Friday. So if we could remember that family in prayer, we'd appreciate it.
I have two announcements, kind of. This is, first of all, this is Food Pantry Month. That's our mission. And the 15th is Harvest Home Sunday, so if you want to bring your things, please do. Second, we have our Golden Age dinner at the end of the month, and there's a sign-up sheet in the back, and that's for 60+. The guy's name is Keith Brenzenhoff. He'll be our entertainment. Now, he plays banjo and auto harp, and he does the classics from when we were kids.
That's really cool, actually. I grew up with Keith Brenzenhoff. I did. I just have a prayer request. I was notified 2 weeks ago, a lot of you know that I work at Camp Swatara, and there is no more money in the budget to keep me full-time. So unless they can somehow move money around, I'm not sure how this whole thing works, in the next few weeks, I won't have a job November 1st. So pray for them to either find money to move around to keep me or to put me somewhere else. So, thanks.
It's a joy and concern, a joy that Laura's through her first surgery, and it was a complete success with no errors on the surgeon's part, thank goodness. Her second surgery is tomorrow, so continue to keep her in your prayers and keep your cards coming. It's a wonderful ministry that this church has with their card sending, and it's really having an effect on Laura. And I would like at this time to add Curtis to the list. He has a procedure that's coming on October 10th, so you can start praying for him. And I'd also like to lift up our neighbor Bob, whose cancer has returned, and he's going through daily chemotherapy at this point. And we're all standing by in case there are transportation needs. So just keep all these things in your hearts and in your prayers. And I know I could really feel the prayers on Thursday as Laura was going through what she was going through, because I had asked Pastor Matt to pray for the mom Burl, who was a designated driver for all this. And I also need to lift up my son-in-law Bob, because he wound up having surgery on Wednesday, this past Wednesday. So it was been a very interesting week, that's all I can say.
Thank you.
I just want to remind you that this week is the clothing drive away. So if you have clothing you want to donate, please have them here at the church before Wednesday at 6 p.m. Then we'll haul them away. Or if you want to donate them directly to the Bethel. You can take them out to Bethel Salem Church, you know where that is, next to the school. And we'll take them in after 9 a.m. on Thursday. And if you could help sort clothes, Thursday, you could come out and help. We appreciate your help. And you, lunch will be served. You'll get to try some of Ruth Stein's infamous cabbage soup for lunch, or and there's other things too. Thank you.
Dave Sechrist was in from Michigan this week, and he brought Gene, his brother, Gene Sechrist, over to visit us. Gene is dealing with really bad health issues. So all of you who remember Gene and Carol, it would be nice to send them greetings and to hold them in your prayers.
Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather as brothers and sisters, as friends in the faith, and with our relationships with each other. Father, we praise you that we can encourage and we can uplift one another. We praise you, Father, that we can come before you in prayer and we can lift up the needs of our congregation and the needs of our community and our world. And we just especially want to lift up Annetta and Joanne this morning and just pray your comfort, your peace upon each of them. We want to lift up Tom, who's dealing with cancer, as well as Bob, and just place your loving touch upon them. And if it be your will, Lord, we pray your healing on them. We think of our brother Ed Liske, who passed away, and his family that are dealing with grief right now. And we just pray that you would be with Ed's family and just allow those around his family to encourage them and uplift them during this difficult time. And we just thank you, Father, for Greg and his life and his ministry among us. And Father, you know his future. You know all things. And we're just praying that you would be with Greg and be with his family and just guide and direct his steps and just allow his future to unfold. And we pray, if it be your will, funds become available at the camp, that you would make that so. And we just praise you, Father, for the way you move in our lives and you make things known to us. And we just pray for Lauren and thank you for the surgery that went well. And we pray for the upcoming surgery, Lord, that you would continue to be with her, to be her strength as she faces this next surgery, and just be with Burrow and the family, Lord, and just uplift them and keep them in your presence and remind them of your steadfast love. And we too pray for her husband Bob, that you would be with him after his surgery, that his recovery takes place, Lord. We just pray your hand upon them, that you would continue to comfort them, and be with Curtis as well. We thank you so much for his life and just the way that you've moved in his life, and just thank you, Father, for him and the upcoming procedure he'll face. We pray for calmness, and we just pray that you would be with Curtis as well. We think of Gene and Carol and uplift them, and just pray that we too would send cards to them and help encourage and uplift them. But Father, we just thank you so much for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the difference that you make in our lives when we face those storms, when we face the challenges. But we do rejoice with life. We think of anniversaries and birthdays and just the many celebrations we have in this life. And we thank you so much for our family. And we thank you for the loved ones that we have. We thank you for the friends gathered here at this church. And we pray that you would bless them, Lord, and just allow them to continue to strive to be like your son, Jesus. And just thank you for your son, for the difference he has made in our lives as we've accepted and we believe in him and have faith on a daily basis, that you would guide us through this life. We just lift up those on our prayer concerns this morning, Ruth and John and Carl and Faye and Earl and Grace and Carol and Pete and Eugene and Mary and Ruth and Jean and Dorothy, and lift up those that have lost loved ones, the Goshorn family and the Verna Gibble family, and just pray again, Father, that you would help them to minister, to be ministered to in the ways that we know how, with cards and calls and visits, but also as your word ministers to them on those days they celebrate life. And we just thank you for those 101 years that Verna celebrated. And we just pray, Father, each of us wouldn't take a day for granted. We know that we're like the grass and we wither, but Father, we pray we would be concerned with the time that we spend and be concerned with the way we're living and just look towards you for our guidance and for our strength and help us to be models of what you have done for each of us. And so we thank you, Father, for giving us an example. And so we just turn now to you. We know sins that have got caught up in our lives and we just confess them to you during these next few moments of silent prayer and also hear the prayers upon our hearts. Father, it is so good to be gathered here this morning. We think of those that are gathering to worship and are being persecuted, our EYN sisters and brothers, and pray protection over them. We think across the nation, Christians that are facing danger that we don't know very well here in our rural community. But Father, just be with our brothers and sisters across the globe, those that are suffering from devastation and reacclimating to their homes. We pray, Father, we would continue to respond and allow funds to go their direction and our help to go their direction. But we think of needs right here in our community and the upcoming clothing giveaway that, Father, those clothes we no longer fit or are too big for us, that we would be willing to donate those for a worthy cause. And just thank you for area ministries that we're able to serve each other and to help in times of need. And we just praise you, Father, for your work among us. We thank you for our senior choir this morning and continue to bless them. We thank you for the opportunity to gather around the tables for Love Feast after this service and pray that your continued presence would be with us as we remember and we continue to worship you this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
And we're going to do just that this morning. Just shout them out. We're counting our blessings this morning. What are the blessings that you are thankful for this morning? And I know I'm blessed and thankful for our church family gathered here this morning. Just shout them out one by one. Let's count our blessings. Home, family, health, friends, church family, jobs, cool air, double amen. Music, amen. What other blessings can we count this morning? Freedom, health, laughter. Are we thankful for laughter? Being able to smile. Everyone brings a smile to our faces, just looking around in the church this morning. We have many blessings to be thankful for. Let's pray. Father, we are overwhelmed by your blessings in our lives. It's at times when we feel we have so little that we are blessed with so much. For we know that your Son, your one and only Son, went to the cross and paid the price for our sins. And what a blessing we count that as this morning. For we know that it's the difference between life eternal and life apart from you. So we thank you this morning for our salvation. And out of that gift that you have given us freely, we give back to you, knowing that all things belong to you. And we are so thankful for the way that you continue to impress upon us the need to be givers and cheerful givers. And we thank you for each one gathered here this morning, and bless them and allow us to continue to count our blessings. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. the children come up front. Are any of you good at remembering stuff? You are. Whoa. How about, can you not remember anything? Do you forget to clean your room sometimes? Has your mom ever asked you, did you clean up your room? Or did you do your chores? What's your usual response? Yes? Sometimes I would respond, oops, I forgot. I still have trouble remembering stuff, even though I'm a little older now. I'm supposed to remember everything, aren't I?
No.
I don't remember. People have a lot of ways to remember stuff. What are some ways you guys remember stuff?
By asking my mom, what do I have to do?
Ask your mom. That's a good way to remember things. Tying a string around your finger. Just remembering. Now, what if your memory's not that good?
Yeah.
Have any of you ever written it down? I know I write stuff down or I put a reminder on my phone, but you know the problem about those things? I sometimes forget to remember to look at it.
You put a note on your shirt.
I put a note on my shirt? No, I haven't done that one yet. Being forgetful isn't something new. You know, being forgetful has been around for forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like forever. 100 years. I think it's been longer than that. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he was eating with his disciples. He knew that he would soon be returning to be with his Father. And he wanted the disciples to remember him. Do you guys remember how he wanted them to remember?
To ask.
To ask? Do you guys remember the bread and the cup? Mm-hmm. Yeah? What did the bread mean? It was his body. The body that has been which broken for you. And the wine is his blood. That's right. So as you eat the bread, you remember that's his body. And as you drink the grape juice, in our case, you remember his blood that was shed for you so that you may have everlasting life. It has been almost 2,000 years. 2,000 years. That's a long time since that night. And we still do that tradition. And today, do you know what today is?
Saturday.
It's Saturday? No, it's Sunday. You do remember that. It's the first day of October. But it's also Love Feast Sunday. So that means we're going to have communion then. And hopefully you guys will remember that the body is the bread, and the cup with the grape juice is the blood that was shed for you so that you can have everlasting life. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we remember you today. We remember that your body was broken and your blood was shed for so that we can have life everlasting. Thank you. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word. And we know, Father, that your word continues to speak to us day in and day out. And we pray in this very moment that you would open our ears to hear, that you would allow our minds to receive precisely what you would have for us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning in Genesis 8, verse 1, opens up with, "But God remembered." We're not talking about the pie in the oven or the chicken cooking on the stove, not even a birthday or an anniversary, but God remembered Noah. Friends, not only Noah, but it goes on to say God remembered all the wild animals and the livestock that were in the ark with him. Friends, they survived. They made it through the storm. God proved to be their shelter. There's times in our lives that we start to think God forgot. The storms never seem to stop, one crashing wave after another, and then those questions without answers. But God remembers. Without question, despite the upkeep of animals, Noah's mind had to have drifted toward those perishing in the storms. Those that were given the choice to repent, to turn to God, but chose the storm and a life apart from him forever. And friends, it's the same with us. We choose life or we choose death. That friend, that colleague, that family member we reach out to, that we pray for daily, our heart aches for their salvation. Though, friends, we know we can't save anyone, but we keep praying that God will do a mighty work. And then that storm comes, and from that family member or colleague or friend, we hear one of two things. Where is your God now? Or we might hear, God, help me. Will you pray for me? I need the God of hope that you speak of. And we're assured that the storm ends, as they do for Noah, as we read in verses 1 through 5. He, referring to God, sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heaven had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. We can hear Noah even now. Listen, listen, family, do you hear that? And they'd be like, hear what? And Noah would be like, exactly, let's rejoice, let's sing to the Lord, let's praise him, for he has remembered us. That sound of rain on the roof, which has a way of putting us to sleep, has completely stopped. The storm is over. Now, how many of you, either now or back in the day, were a fan of roller coasters? Any roller coaster fans in the house? Yeah, you know, lately, they seem to get the best of me. That wonderful dessert I had often comes back up. But you can even hear in the midst of the storm, the family crying out, Lord, when is it going to stop? But when it finally came to rest on that mountain, we can almost hear the sigh of relief from Noah and his family. I don't know about you, but I often wonder when that door was open, what exactly did they see? Were there the corpses of people and animals that perished before them? Or maybe God continued to protect them in his shelter and prevent their sight because of landing on a mountain rather than in a valley and not seeing those things. But as Noah realized, the rains were stopping. We read in verses 6 to 14. After 40 days, Noah opened a window. What a relief that must have been. The smell can finally escape. And he sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch, because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again. But this time, it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. We have a friend in our church family named Matt Blatt who will be flying for the first time. And like Noah, he's not going to be even more excited to see ground again. But this got me thinking. God remembered Noah and his family. God remembered the creatures, even those slithery snakes that I wish he wouldn't have remembered. But God remembered. But the question this morning is, does God ever forget? He knows everything about us. He knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. But does God ever forget? Sounds like a rather silly question. How could God possibly forget? He is God after all. But in Hebrews 8:12, we find our answer. It reads, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, God isn't saying he'll forget our sins. He says he'll remember them no more. This promise not to remember is much stronger than saying he'll forget our sins. There's times, maybe even this morning, we could use that reassurance. And today is about to be that day full of abundant blessings. We celebrate what the Church of the Brethren calls Love Feast, and that reassurance fills our lives as we remember God's selfless act of forgiveness, his death on the cross, his resurrection thereafter on the third day are things that should remain on our minds at all times. If you're looking for perspective in your life as you face that storm, remember his broken body. Remember his blood poured out for each of us. As the deacons come forward with the elements and we consecrate them for the incredible act that we'll be doing together after this service, may we remember the broken body. May we remember the poured out blood. And may our lives sacrificially be set apart for God's use. We know he's on the move. We know he uses us in mighty ways. So as we consecrate these elements, we ask the Lord's blessings upon them. Father God, we thank you for your broken body. We know, Father, that you cried out, not my will, but yours be done. If you can take this cup from me, please, Lord, take it. But you went to the cross and you suffered for each and every single one of us. And this morning and for the remainder of our lives, we don't take that for granted for one single moment. So we ask now, as this symbol of bread before us, that we will celebrate at Love Feast in just a few moments. We ask that you would bless it. We ask that you would set it apart, and that in return you would set us apart, that we would be used of you. And we too thank you, Father, for the cup. And we pray, Father, that you would bless this cup, that you would set apart this cup, for we know that it reminds us of your shed blood, a blood that was poured out for every single one of us, every person gathered in this universe. Father, your blood was spilled. And again, Father, we don't take that blood for granted. As we drink that cup in a few moments, we ask, Father, your blessings. We ask, Father, that we sacrificially would live for you, recognizing that there will be storms that come. And when we face them, we recognize your presence and your shelter upon us. So, Father, again, we consecrate these elements before you and ask you to use them in a mighty and powerful way. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Friends, the good news this morning is the door of the ark was opened. And when that door was opened, all those inside came out. You see, friends, God remembers us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And no matter how far we feel that we've fallen away, God can still reach out to us. You see, like the ark, sin has a way of containing us. It keeps us from right relationship with God. But God remembered our sinful state, and he sent Jesus with an unconditional love upon the cross to set us free. So the question we ask ourselves this morning is, how free do you feel? Is there something that you've been caught up with that no one else is even aware of that you and God need to have a talk about? The good news this morning is that he always is listening. He wants to hear from his children. But it's not only on the cross, but it's in that empty tomb that we find life. And every day, dear friends, God calls us to leave that which contains us, to come out from the ark like Noah and his family and those creatures. It's then that we find our feet on solid ground in Christ Jesus. Today, the bread and the cup remind us that God remembers. He's not forgotten us, nor will he ever. It's good news, it's total comfort that God chooses not to remember our sin. So today, as we remember God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, may we live a life reflective of his Son as we rise and sing our final song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. As you remain standing, I invite you to turn to number 692 as unison confession in our preparation for descent to the Fellowship Hall for Love Feast. Number 692, and we'll read that in unison together. Number 692. O God, you rule the world from end to end and for all time. You alone are God. In you alone we hope. Forgive our sins. Heal our diseases. Save our lives from destruction. We repent of our stubbornness and pride. We desire to yield ourselves more fully to your will. Keep us in your presence that we might serve and witness in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Go in peace.